John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse number 24 is what we're going to look at. John 4, 24. It says there, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you that tonight, Lord, you are our Savior, you're our King, you're our Heavenly Father, you're our Creator, our God, you're our everything, actually, Lord. And I just pray we'd help us to realize that truth, Lord, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and in our daily lives as well. Lord, thank you for that truth is all that we need in this containing this Word of God right here. And I thank you made it available to us where we can read it, we can see it, we can hold it, we can look at it, we can learn it, and teach it, memorize it, and the Holy Spirit can energize it in our hearts and our lives, and it can affect and change us because it's your truth, Lord. It's not some man's. It's yours from heaven. Appreciate that, Lord, and may you just empower it tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Truth is the name of the message tonight, truth. And the Lord just struck me with this thought this last week, and truth is not the same as realized truth. Truth is not the same as realized, or another word I guess you could say would be understood truth. Just because you recognize something as being true doesn't mean you really believe it. Amen. Bible says, and Jesus said in the Bible there that if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. The proof of our love is in our obedience to his truth, his word. If his truth is in us, like it should be, it'll be coming out of us in the way we act and the way we live our lives. We make decisions every day based upon if we really believe truth or not. Right. I don't care what kind of decision it is. I mean, it really doesn't matter. You pick one, there's a basis either in the truth of the Word of God, or it's the basis is in your own heart and mind, your own flesh. One of those is given the push for that decision. And more, it should be the Word of God. And just because we say we believe truth, that we carry our Bibles around, we say we believe the Bible, and we have, you know, some of us have verses committed to memory, verses memorized, and we say we believe the Bible. That does not we believe truth, I should say. That does not mean necessarily that we are living it the way we should most of the time. And the only reason that can happen is if God is doing it through us. That's the reason. God has got to be doing it through us. Living the life God's given us to live as a Christian is not something you can put on and put off. It's not something you decide you're going to do today. I'm going to live for God today. It's something that God does through you as you just successfully and consecutively yield yourself to him. And that is a truth from the Word of God. And we would all probably say amen, you know, and raise your hand. Amen, I believe the Word of God is truth. I believe it's correct. There's no errors or no mistake. I mean, it gives us salvation, tells us about heaven, tells us about Jesus Christ, about the cross and his resurrection and all the glorious truths that are just listed there. And we would all holler, ladies probably would say amen, but we would all want to say, yes, I agree with that. I believe that that's true. But do we live our lives by that truth being realized in our life on a daily basis? It's easy to get what we do is we compartmentalize our Christianity. That's what we end up doing, but what we in our mind, we're compartmentalizing our lives is what we're doing. We say, I'm going to do this on Sunday because it's church day, so I know I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to be doing this. On Monday when I have to go to work, I'll be doing this and this and this and this. And sometimes the things happen on Monday is not something that would happen on Sunday. And I'm not saying because you're not in a church building, but because you're not thinking the same way Monday that you were on Sunday. Why is that? Amen. It shouldn't be.
Right.
You say, but I'm at work. I'm not at church. So am I. And I believe me, I am not perfect. I do not walk on water unless you spill it on the floor. That's it. I mean, I am far from perfect. I know that, believe me. I'm well aware of that. Nevertheless, the truth is to be told, and we need to be understand that just because we say we believe things, we say we believe the Bible, we're Bible believers, sometimes that really doesn't come out when it should. When we interact with one another, we have relationships with ourselves here, with our family members, with people we work with, where we live at, neighbors, whatever, so on and so forth. We have interactions, and those interactions sometimes tell on us.
Amen.
Because we act the way we wouldn't act at church. We say something we shouldn't say at church, or we wouldn't say at church. And then, but we'd still say, oh, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe the Bible and everything else. But the way we do, it kind of just tells on us. Kind of like Peter, when he was trying to hide with the bad guys, all the sinners, his way of speaking was recognizable. They knew he didn't belong there. Now, it didn't help him out because he wanted to hide, amen? But what I'm talking about is kind of the opposite, where we should be recognizing for being a good Christian, we recognize, but stuff is coming out that shouldn't come out. Decisions are made, like people, maybe just if somebody at church was to see you make that decision, they would kind of sit there and scratch their head, why did you make that decision? They wouldn't be able to figure that out. Why does that happen? Because we're not sold out for the Lord. We say we believe the Bible, but we don't live it. And listen, it's rampant across the country. It's rampant across the world. It's rampant across Christianity in general. Because like I said before, God is the one doing it through us. And the thing about God is, he's only going to show up where he's welcome. You say, but I have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. I'm saved. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Jesus Christ, I have the earnest of the Spirit of the down payment of heaven in my soul, the seal by the Spirit of God, and so on and so forth. And I understand all that. But you can still live far from God that way.
Amen.
Many do. Truth is not the same as realized or understood truth. We got to have more in our life. We got to have more going for us than just saying, I believe the Bible, or I believe the Bible's true, or I believe this is true. Does your life show that? Because that's what people at work don't see you read your Bible. People at work don't see you in church. People at work that you have relationships with, they don't see you in your prayer time. They don't see you in your devotion time. They don't see you teaching Sunday school class or whatever. They see you at work.
That's right.
Now, you should be the same person,
right.
But sometimes we're not.
Amen.
That shouldn't be.
Amen.
That shouldn't be. It does not please the Lord, and it should not please us. We should be concerned about that. Truth is not the same as realized truth. Truth. Here we see in John chapter 4:24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Our worship has got to be in truth. Why do I start off with worship? Well, because worship is not just a half an hour segment of a Sunday's morning service.
That's right.
That's not worship. Worship is your life 24/7.
Right.
That's what worship is. Because worship is what you do before God. So is there ever a time when you're not before God?
Amen.
No. So therefore, that's why I have the confidence to be able to say that our worship is 24/7. Because you're never out of God's jurisdiction. You're never out of God's view. You're never out of God's domain. It's impossible. And we're supposed to act for him, live for him, do things for him all the time that are the same. We shouldn't be one way at church and one way when we're not at church. Shouldn't be that way. It's wrong. And many times, that's the case. In Joshua 24:14, talking about truth, it's such a important thing that when you broach the subject and you bring it up, people get sober. The giddiness kind of leaves the room, and because they realize what we're talking about is it's a serious situation. It's not, you know, to be trifled with. But nevertheless, they don't do what they should do with it a lot of times. And that's what we're trying to address here tonight. Joshua 24, verse 14. It says there, Joshua 24:14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." He's saying, serve him in sincerity. Sincerity means genuineness. It's not fake. Sincere, there's two words there that mean without wax. And it comes from the connotation of years ago when they would make these sculptures. These guys would be paid lots of money to make these statues, and they would chisel them out of marble or whatever it was. But if there was ever like a nick or a flaw somewhere, they would take wax and they would smear it in there. And if you didn't know what you were looking for, you wouldn't be able to see the flaw. Now, he would know where it is because his chisel went too far that way or something. And there's a little bit of wax just covers it up. Sincere means without wax. It's the genuine article. There's no blemishes. There's no hiding. There's nothing hidden. That's a surprise for you. Serve the Lord in sincerity. Be genuine, not just an act, not just something you have to do because, well, I'm at church today, so I've got to do this today, or because, well, I'm in Walmart and there's Christians in Walmart, I better be on my good behavior today. That kind of Christianity is almost the level of your Christianity is scary. If that's how you live your life and actually make those kind of decisions, you have got so much wrong with you that you need to go to God almost 24/7. Because, listen, that should not be the way a Christian lives. That kind of Christian life brings ulcers. That kind of Christian life brings an anxiety. That kind of Christian life brings sleepless nights, nervously biting your fingernails, whatever you want to call it. I mean, whatever happens, that kind of Christian is miserable. And they're always scared of being found out, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, there's no peace of God in their life. When they sing about the peace of the cross or the peace of Jesus Christ, or they see the verse in Scripture, they have no idea what that's talking about. Because they're just constantly, they're always worried. Why? Because they're not genuine. It's an act. And when I was a child, I learned, early on, it was just like, you know, I told them every time I had a chance, I'd lie to get out of this, I'd lie to get out of that. But then I kind of figured out, well, if you tell a lie here, and it looks like you're getting away with it, you got to make sure you remember that, because it's got to line up with the next lie you tell. And so I started thinking about that. I was like, man, this is going to be a headache, you know? But that's what I'm talking about here. When you're living for the Lord and it's sincere, and when you love somebody and it's sincere and you love the Lord, sure you're going to make mistakes. Sure you're going to fall. Sure you're going to trip up. You're going to get spiritually dirty. You're going to get a spiritual skinned knee. You're going to slip and fall. Sure, that's part of the growth process. That's part of the living that we do for the Lord. That's why 1 John 1:9 is there. That's why we have him walking with us. That's why we have him indwelling us. That's why we have the Word of God available to us. We can hold it in our hands. We can have it every day. That's why all those things are available so easily, because we are in that precarious position to fall constantly. But nonetheless, even in that situation, we can still be genuine and sincere with God. When you genuinely, sincerely love somebody, they know it. One of the biggest eye-openers I had as a young Christian was teaching a teen Sunday school class, high school teen boys. And I was, truth be told, I was probably 5 years older than my class. I'm teaching these senior high boys Sunday school. And I barely know anything about the Bible. But the pastor saw us, you know, growing in the Lord in that church there. And the Lord opened up an opportunity and so forth. And I'm sitting there teaching these young teen boys, and being the way they are, and I had to fight myself because I wanted to giggle and laugh at the stupid stuff that they were doing, because it was stupid, it was funny, and it was amusing. But I had to fight myself because I was not in that position anymore. I had to teach them the Word of God. And that, listen, is a whole lot more important than, even though that is hilariously funny and I know what's going to be going on and I can see, it's got to stop because this is what's on the table now. And that class, I actually had the pastor's oldest son in my class. And I had to send him, it wasn't the principal, who's the superintendent of Sunday school. I sent him to the office. One time I had to do that. When I told him to get up and go to the office, all the other boys almost fell out of the chair. You're sending Brad to the office? It got the message across quickly. And we were able to get through the lesson, and praise God for it. But thing is, when you sincerely love somebody and you care about their soul and you care about the Word of God, they know if it's real or not. Teenagers, even preteens, can look at a teen, a preacher or a teacher, and they can look and they'll know within a minute or two if that guy's for real or if they're just marking time. And the thing about it is, you don't have the right just to mark time.
Amen.
You got to be real or get out. Because this is too important. Whether it's the kids that are acting like kids, or if they're bus kids that just don't know any better, or whatever it is, this is more important than anything else.
Amen.
And if you can't be genuine with this, teaching them kids, you need to get out. And get taught yourself, because you got a lot of growing to do. But genuine sincerity is so important that in this verse here, God lists it first. Now, you that fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity. And then he says, and in truth, the word of God, what's contained right here. This is all the truth we ever have and all we're ever going to need right here. He said, well, that Bible doesn't say anything specifically about cigarettes. No, it doesn't. It also doesn't say anything about Sunday school either. It doesn't say anything about cars or airplanes, but it's still truth that's applicable every day in your life right now in 2018. It's a wonderful volume. It's a beautiful book. I love it immensely, and it's something we need to reverence and hold to. But sincerity and in truth, serve the Lord that way. Because listen, there's nobody, you can trick a lot of people. You can even trick yourself. And Bible warns us about deceiving your own selves. But you're not going to trick or manipulate God.
Amen.
He's going to see through it every time. Now, you may be able to get past a couple of people. Maybe you can pull a wool over their eyes, do the little act or whatever and say this and say that. But God sees what's going on. And he's going to treat you the way he knows you need to be treated. He's not buying the act. He's not, impressed. God did not save us to perform for him. We're not here to entertain God.
Right.
We're not, the little pets that he's collected and he puts them in a little box and says, okay, please perform for me. That's not us. We are his children. He loves us. We grow. We depend upon him. We get nurtured from the Word of God. We get spiritually strengthened. We learn. We make mistakes. We go to him. We talk to him. We love him. We assimilate God's word in our life. We grow spiritually. And then he uses us to affect eternity. God uses us to affect eternity. That's the whole point. We're not here just to perform like a bunch of pets.
Right.
Nobody is impressed. No, nobody should be impressed with anybody. That's not why we're here. I mean, what should impress us is that, hey, they're always at church. Praise the Lord for that. They've always got a testimony, and praise the Lord for that. That's the kind of stuff that should we take notice of, not this the superficial carnal stuff. That's the world. That's a different crowd that we're severed from, supposedly. And he says here, serve the Lord in sincerity. Be genuine without any hidden wax. The real article. This genuine article. I'm your child, God. 100% sold out for you. And in truth. And then he says, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. He separates that statement from the previous statement. He didn't just stop and say, serve him in sincerity and truth, and then put a period there. He says, oh, by the way, also do this also. Don't save any leftover garbage. Don't save any baggage. Don't go to the flesh. Don't give your flesh an avenue to go the other way. Don't do it. Don't give your flesh a spare tire. Don't give your carnal nature a spare tire avenue. Get rid of it all. Just be sold out for God. Listen, when you do that, God takes notice, and God likes that. He smiles at that. Listen, when David went to Goliath, and he saw Goliath there, he said, I can take him out. Just give me 5 stones and a sling. We can do it. You better take this armor on, David. Well, I'll put it on since you're the king. I'll put it on, but it ain't going to fit. It didn't fit. He said, just give me the stones. We can take it out. I've killed a bear and a lion. This guy's been nothing else different. God, me and God can take him out. That's the kind of stuff that God looks at. The boldness, the genuine desire to please God above everybody else. Now, he wasn't disrespectful to King Saul. He said, okay, I'll put your armor on. That's what you want, but it's not going to fit, and it didn't. And he said, no, it's not going to work. I got to do it this way here. He being bold for the Lord is going to cause heads to spin, people to stop, and attention. Attention, why? Because God. Not attention because of you or me. That's the world. That's the devil. We want attention. Why? Because of God. Listen. God wants that. God delights in that, and He uses that. Amen. And that should be our lot. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, truth is not the same as realized or understood or actually lived truth in a Christian's life. Just because you say, I believe truth, doesn't really mean a whole lot of anything. 1 Corinthians 13, how you live your life is the thing that matters. Anybody can say anything they want to, and most people do. Shame on us if we do as Christians. Shame on us. That's another thing that's completely missing from society. Shame. My goodness, people wear in public disgusting stuff. And there is not an ounce or a glimmer of any shame anywhere. I mean, it's just disgusting. Shame on Christians that don't have any shame, amen? There are some things that should not be done, not even spoken of, amen? I remember early on when we first got to the church there in California, and remember, I was a teenager, basically, a young teenager. I was, I'm early 20s, I think, when we moved to California. I mean, I was just a kid, and so I thought I was always right, and I would vocalize that to Connie, and every once in a while she would say, "Well, I don't really think so." And she said it. She always said it so nice and politely too. But we would have a spat every once in a while. But we realized as we grew in that church and grew in the Word of God and we grew with the Lord, we realized that that marriage was for God. It wasn't for us. And we made a decision that we would never even say the word divorce.
Amen.
We wouldn't even say it. Because we're going to give the avenue for the devil to even give that open that door at all. And listen, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's grace and this wonderful book right here that we are where we are at today. Because we were not going to even give an avenue for the other way out. It was till death do us part. It was for God and Him alone. Nobody else had any jurisdiction. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, it says there, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. As Christians, we should rejoice in the truth. Yes, we say, well, I'll holler amen at the Bible. I believe the King James Bible. You know, all the different things that we hoop and holler about and praise the Lord for. And it's awesome. But I'm talking about rejoicing in the truth of the truth that's being lived in your life. This kind of rejoicing is not so much audible. It's a lot of this rejoicing takes place when you're talking to God in your prayer time. You're rejoicing in the truth, not the truth that you know, not the truth that you can quote, not the truth that you can talk to somebody else about or teach about, but the truth that's alive in your life. You're rejoicing in that truth. Why? Because you want to. It's something you enjoy. You talk to God and say, Lord, thank you for giving me this life to live and help me to be this person that I am, whether you're a husband or a wife or whatever it is. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to see from the Word of God that this is the wrong way and help me make the right decisions. Thank you for that victory when the situation came last week and we made the right decision, Lord. I thank you. And that's the kind of rejoicing I'm talking about. Not rejoicing in what you think you know. Because it's not about that. It's what are you doing with what you say you know? What are you doing with it every day of your life? That's what God is looking at. God's not going to hand out diplomas. When we get to heaven, He's not going to give us a diploma.
Right.
Based on what we know.
Amen. Thank
God. He's not. No, He's going to give some stuff out.
Amen.
But what is He going to give out? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble? That's what He's going to be giving out. So He's not concerned about what you know. He's concerned about what are you doing with what you know. Does your Christianity, is it real? Is it what motivates you every day? Or is it just something you put on or just something you have to do when you're around certain people? Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Continuous action. It's a way of life. You say, but no Christian will rejoice in iniquity. Really?
Amen.
You probably believe in Santa Claus and probably think animals talk like Walt Disney too, right? Christians rejoice in a lot of stuff they shouldn't rejoice in. And they do it over and over and over and over again. We need to rejoice in the truth of living God's word in our lives and being genuine article for Him. Not to impress anybody or to get, a diploma or to get some kind of reward, but because we love our Heavenly Father. I mean, when I was a young boy, all I wanted to do was just impress Dad. I just wanted to impress Dad. I want to make sure I get my bed made the best. Get my bed made the quickest. My side of the room be the cleanest. When I go out there and do my chores, I make sure my chores. I just wanted Dad to be happy. There's nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
Do you care if God's happy?
Amen.
When's the last time you thought if God was happy or not?
Amen.
Philippians 4:8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. That's Ephesians. It's a good book, good chapter, good verse, just the wrong one. Philippians 4:8. There we go. That's the one I wanted. Yep. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, lovely rather, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There are some things that we should think on.
Amen.
And there are some things that we should not think on.
Right.
Amen. This is one reason, actually, why when I do watch TV and a commercial comes on, I mute it.
Mm-hmm.
It's because even though I have to, you know, look at the stupid picture or whatever it is, the car lots or whatever it is, I don't want to have to listen to the incessant garbage that's louder than the rest of the program you've been watching already and just bam, 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 bam to get you to buy the stuff. I don't want to be thinking that way at all. It's bad enough I got to sit here and look at it, but I'm not going to listen to it. And at work, we have a break room at work, and I try to get to the break room early because there's only one TV, and it's a big one. But they leave the remote there. So I try to get to break early, get my lunchbox and get to that table and get the remote, and I put it on the Rifleman or something like that, and we'll sit there and watch it. And I get the comments. Oh, did that Rifleman just come out last week? Yeah, it just came out last week. Yep, comments like that. And then when a commercial comes on, I mute it there too. And because I don't want to hear it there either. But the thing is, there are things we do not need to think about. Sometimes they come into our mind because situations arise in life. A phone call may come. Something may be said. Something may be done in the store near us or in the highway, whatever. But by and large, we should not think on certain things. We should think on things listed in verse number 8. And the only time Christians really think about verse number 8 type stuff is when you're in church. Amen. If there's a message about one of those things. Any other time, you don't think about that stuff. Why is that? Because your flesh doesn't want to.
That's it.
Our flesh is the biggest problem we have. Yeah. It's the worst problem we have. It's the most powerful problem we have, our flesh. And Paul, in Galatians 2:20, he says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." It's not me that's living my life, it's Jesus Christ through me.
Amen.
Even though it is me walking and talking, it is me in my clothes, it is me in my car, it is me in my home or wherever, it's Jesus Christ using me as an avenue. It's not me. It's not me. And our flesh hates that kind of stuff. Our flesh hates this message like this, and it always will. And it's something you can't just say, okay, flesh, you stay home from church today. That'd be so nice. Because if he ever went away, I'd lock him in the door and never let him out again. Like, you're never coming out. But that doesn't work that way, amen? He's there with us everywhere we go, or she, whatever, you know, what you are, amen? We have our flesh with us everywhere we go, all the time. I mean, never takes time off. He never says, okay, I'm going to be gone for a week or so. That'd be great too, wouldn't it? But it never happens. They're always there. It's always there with us. It's our constant adversary, and the devil knows that. That's why he does what he does. But here in Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. First thing on the list, true things. There's only one source you can go to where it's going to be 100% absolute, no doubt about it, true.
Amen.
This book right here.
Right.
No matter where else you go, you can't say that.
Amen.
Even if it's in a commentary of your favorite person, you still can't say that.
Amen.
Amen. And we need to think on a lot of things, but we need to think on things that are pleasing to the Lord. Amen. And truth. And just truth is not the same as realized or actually lived out truth. There's a big major difference. It's amazing to me, when you're having like a class of young children or young teens or young folks, and you're getting them to, there's a few of them in class that can actually kind of start to get it, and you're like, just want to jump up and down, holler amen, but you're so tickled, and you keep praying for them, and you see them they're getting it, you're bringing them along, and they make decisions, they ask questions, different things like that, and that's a beautiful thing, and they actually have they're making a concerted, conscious effort to pursue God. And that's a delight. It's a delight to the teacher. It's a delight to the pastor. It's a delight to the parents. It's a delight to God. Amen. But most of us don't do that. And there's so much stuff in our lives to keep us distracted from thinking about doing that. That's why we don't. Somebody was made a statement about how every morning they get up, and one of the things they've been praying for over 20 years is the same thing: Lord, give me more boldness, give me more boldness, give me more boldness, and to serve you. And they made a comment that as they go through their life every day, they have opportunities, and they let the Lord just use them, and they realize that. When they're doing these things for the Lord and they're making these bold things, they look around just about every single time and there's nobody else around them. It's just them and the Lord doing what needs to be done. And that's pretty much it.
Amen.
Being bold literally is not for everybody. Everybody like David's situation. The whole army was hiding in the ditch. The whole army, the entire army was sitting in a ditch. The whole army. They didn't even have any recon scouts out. They were all in the ditch, just waiting, looking at this big old guy, Goliath. David gets up by himself, says, "We can take care of it. Just give me 5 stones and a sling." He's done. But did you notice? Nobody came out until after Goliath fell.
That's right.
You read that and you look in the Bibles? They all stayed. They watched the whole thing in the ditch, hiding in the dirt. Watch this little boy get out there with a sling, take out Goliath by the mighty hand of God. And after he fell, they still waited, make sure he didn't get up. And then once they saw David climb on top of him, they said, "Yeah, he's pretty much dead now. We can get out now. It's safe." Being bold, you're on your own. You can be on your own in your families, in your family situation, wherever it is, but you still need to be bold for the Lord. When he motivates you to do something like that, to do something that's out of the ordinary, just do it. And God, listen, he delights in that. Amen. When we were, of course, I didn't know any better, so we actually did date before we got married. I didn't know what courting was. Wasn't saved either, but anyway. I lied to her, told her I was. Anyway, but imagine that, huh? But as we're dating and stuff, and I wanted to get her attention and have her focus some more on me, I would do bold stuff, you know? Like we made at the restaurant or whatever, and she said, "Boy, I think they messed up my tea or whatever." And I'd say, hey, come over here, pal. We got a problem here with this tea or whatever. And she'd say, don't. I said, hey, we'll take care of it. I was being bold, you know? Why? Because her.
Yeah.
God wants us to do that for him.
Amen.
Next time somebody uses his name as a swear word, stand up for your Lord.
Amen.
Stand up for Jesus Christ that saved your soul, that died on the cross, shed his blood on purpose so you could live forever. Stand up for him.
Amen.
When they use the Lord's name in vain, they say, like OMG, and oh, I say, so really, oh, did you want to spend some time in prayer? I can pray with you. What are you talking about? What are you calling the Lord's name? I figured you'd be praying. Do you know him as your Savior? Stand up for the Lord. Be bold. Get their attention.
Amen.
It'll shock them. And that's what they need. They need to be shocked. There's no shame anymore.
Right.
I mean, they have more reverence for these idiots that play football than they do with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
In this world today in which we live. Idiots. I probably shouldn't say words like that, but anyway, I did. Ephesians chapter 4, we're almost done. Ephesians chapter 4. Truth is not the same as realized truth actually lived out in your life. We think we're okay because we know how to say this and when to say that and know the terminology and know anything else. But we're not. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Speaking truth as a way of life. Not the kind of truth you would think of like in a courtroom setting. Make sure you say the truth, the whole truth, so help you God. And you put your hand on the Bible, so on and so forth. You swear an oath to say the truth. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just as a way of life, you as a Christian are going to tell the truth.
That's it.
You're going to be truthful. You're not going to hide. You're going to shave the corners off of it. You're not going to manipulate somebody by saying partially what you want them to hear and then just keep other stuff away so they would get a different idea than what they should have gotten because
right.
you left some of the stuff out. Will Christians do that? Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
Christians can be the most wicked, sharp-tongued people on the planet.
Amen.
And listen, it's a spiritual wickedness that I'm talking about. It's a spiritual deception. It's a spiritual attack. It's almost like when you talk to some people, what's a good illustration? It's like it's like a spiritual venom coming at you. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And you see something is said, and then you hear a remark that's just lashed out. And it's like, wow. It's like spiritual venom just went thwack, you know? You weren't expecting it. And it happens all the time. Christians, listen. The only way we have The life that God's given us to live for him is by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's the only reason we have what we have. We don't have a Christian life because we deserve it. We don't have a Christian marriage because we're so good at it. We don't have a Christian testimony at work because, you know, God loves us and he just gave it to us for free because, you know, we're just so good at it. Everything that we have is by the grace of God. I mean, the fact that we got up this morning was because of the grace of God. The fact that we're here sitting in a pew and able to vocalize and talk and sing and understand and see, it's the grace of God. I mean, tomorrow, our sight could be gone tomorrow. The way the water situation is now with these busted pipes and stuff, you could ingest something, and I don't want to scare anybody, but you could ingest something and you could be meet the Lord before next Christmas. I mean, it's all by the grace of God.
Amen.
I mean, we need to depend upon God for each and everything, and we need to live our life. When we speak, we should speak. Our words should be like an ointment, like the oil that went down on Aaron and down Aaron's beard. It should be like a refreshing. It should be a soothing. People should enjoy talking to you. They want to spend time talking with you because it'll be a blessing when they talk with you. That's what a Christian is for. That's what it should be about. The world, my goodness, those little kids, all little kids, they don't have to be taught how to lie.
Yep.
They don't have to be taught how to be stingy or mean.
Okay.
Listen, you neither did we. Matter of fact, we spent the biggest part of our life trying to unlearn that and be taught how to tell the truth, how to be nice, how to not be stingy, how to be, you know, so and so forth down the road. And we had to spend our life learning to be the opposite of what was coming natural. And for a Christian to deviate and do that kind of stuff over and over again in your daily life and then just put on an act later on and, you know, just it's out of the pit of hell. It's just bad. Because it does not just affect you, everybody else around you.
Right.
Your family, the church, your unsaved family members. And a statement was made by a fellow a while ago. He said, it's amazing how hell's crowd knows how heaven's crowd should live.
Yep.
And heaven's crowd ain't got it figured out yet. Isn't that amazing? It's true.
Amen.
The world knows exactly what you should and shouldn't do.
Right.
And they'll do everything to manipulate you to do what you shouldn't do. They'll push you to see if you're going to crack. If they just you push that button, say, well, I'll get him to do it over here. Just watch us. He said no three times already, but we'll get him to fall this time. That's what they're about.
Yep.
They're Satan's people. They're hell's crowd is what they are. They're unsaved, unregenerate. They're hell-bound and wicked as all get out, just like you and I were before we got saved. That's all they know. Apart from Jesus Christ, they'll never know any difference. But as Christians, listen, when we speak, there should be a stark difference. I made this statement earlier about when was the last time you thought if God was happy or not. That's how much you're thinking. We need to have a way of talking that betrays us.
Amen.
Like Peter did. Peter was betrayed because of the way he was talking. Why was he talking the way he was? Because he had been with Jesus for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
It just became a way of life. A good way of life, but it betrayed him because it ratted him out. Same thing should happen with us. We should talk like Christians talk. When I'm at work, I have to fight myself from saying amen. When something good happens, I have to stop it. Because that's the first thing that wants to spit out is that something great happened. I want to say amen. And, you know, most people there are not saved, and they wouldn't understand that. And I was actually told that we don't want to offend them. So I made a few comments, which I knew I could get away with this person. And anyway, but our speech should it should, think of the word now, it should betray us, is that the word? It should tell on us. When people say something and we respond back, it should be the way Christian would respond. Like, they may say something, like, we were watching this one break. I have three breaks at work, a 30-minute break. This one break, when I get to the break room, there's really nothing on, so they have this, they have another, the show where you answer questions and become a millionaire. They had a question up there, and I honestly had no clue what they were talking about. And I told the guy at the table, I said, I have no idea what that is. I don't know. Any of those responses, the answers, I have no idea what the question's about. I was oblivious. It was about something about this, would be, what do you call it? Where it's this time that we're living in now. Contemporary, it was a contemporary time question, but it was, I had no idea what about it. I would have totally bombed that question if I was on that show. I had no idea. A lot sometimes about geography and stuff like that, I can nail it. But this here, I was oblivious to it. And the other guy was sitting there with, he was kind of an older gentleman. He goes to a Baptist church there. He says, I'm not sure if I understand the question either. And that's okay.
Amen.
It's okay to be ignorant of the world's stuff.
Amen.
It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, we have been programmed to where we will do everything in our power for that never to happen. We got to know everything about everything. Why? Why? We got to change the way we think, and the way we talk needs to betray us. It needs to tell everybody, "Yep, I'm sold out for Him."
Amen.
Didn't mean to let that slip out, but it did. I'm sorry. Yep, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Are you? You know, just use it as an avenue.
Amen.
Just because we say, "I believe truth," doesn't mean a whole lot. God's not impressed. Nobody's really impressed. How do you live your life? It'd be a whole lot better for a Christian to know one verse of the Bible and live that 24/7, 100%, than to know a whole bunch of verses and not live any of it.
Amen.
Because that's just giving ammunition to the devil, where the other person is at least doing one thing consistently, correctly, and led and energized by the Spirit of God to effect eternity, at least in one facet. And as they progress with that, eventually God will give them grace to get another one down and another one down.
Amen.
That's called growth in grace. The last verse that Peter ever writes to us in the New Testament was grow in grace. Grow in grace. It's always going to be a process of growth. It's always going to be a process of growth, always. And growth means pain. It means stopping and starting. It means falling down. It means change. It's just a constant process. That's what it's about. That's why we have the Word of God available to us. He's inside of us. We can talk to Him every day. All these things are available. Why? Because we need it. It's a constant changing process. We're never going to arrive and say, okay, I've got it. I am Joe Christian today. I made it. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And we can be used to God more than we were before if we allow Him to, but we're never going to get to the point where we're going to be Joe Christian. Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the fact that truth, as important as it is, it's not something to be looked at as a badge or something to wear or to hang around our necks or anything to impress somebody. But Lord, it should be a way of life. Help us as Christians, Lord, to sell out to Your truth on a daily basis, not just because we know what the truth says, but because it's the way we live our life. Help us, Lord, to do this. Help us to be sold out. Help us to be sincere without wax. Help us to not have any thing hidden and disguised and covered up by the wax. Help us to be the genuine, 100% pure article for You and to live it because we want to, because we want to please our Heavenly Father. Help us to be motivated to do that, Lord. Help us to understand it and realize there's so much more at stake than what we think when we're living in the flesh. There's a whole lot more at stake. Help us to, Lord, to be crucified with Christ and nevertheless live for you by the power that you put in our lives every day. Help us to do that, Lord. Please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.